Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi, I'm Shovik Das.
I'm Leslie DeMonte.
And I'm Deepthi Ahuja.
You're listening to Mint Etc.,
a podcast where we will talk about important developments in technology and how they will transform our lives, work, and play as we know it.
Welcome to Tech Etc. We are back once again, and this time I join you not from my usual base in Delhi, because Deepthi has sent me to the United States of America to buy her Rabbit R1 assistant. And we have started the episode with the usual note in that regard. But on a serious note, I'm here to cover NVIDIA's GPU Technology Conference, or GTC, which has returned in the physical format for the first time since COVID broke out. And Leslie, you've followed NVIDIA for many years, and you've probably seen it grow from, an absolutely niche little company that catered to gamers but had a grand idea of things, to today at the venue. They had some 13,000 people in the stadium, plus they had another 13,000 people who showed up but couldn't enter the stadium, so they had to take them across multiple convention centers to accommodate and put up screens. And they said some 300,000 people tuned in online, and there was this huge buzz, and analysts and partners and vendors, and there were small startup founders who had come all the way from Jakarta because they were like, we want to see if we can somehow get associated with NVIDIA. There seems to be this massive buzz around NVIDIA and their role in making the AI of today. So it's a very interesting time at NVIDIA GTC this time. And Jensen Huang became nothing short of a sort of like a celebrity or a rock personality today, because not only did GTC start with a showcase of an AI artist who created AI art live, but Huang entered the stadium to this massive cheer, of course, but he entered with this mood and this statement saying that, I hope you guys haven't forgotten that we are not in a rock concert, and in the next couple of hours, we're only going to speak science and math. And he did that. He didn't try to forcibly keep it consumer friendly. He geeked out. He was very technical. And it seems to be NVIDIA's time under the sun. And in that regard, what about you, Leslie? You've been seeing NVIDIA for a long time. Do you think this is rightfully their moment of attention?
Yeah, in fact, actually, if you remember a year back, I wrote about how NVIDIA is soaring, in the sky, because they are clearly riding the AI wave. Now, the interesting part is, if you look at November 2022, okay, if you look at NVIDIA's market capitalization, it was somewhere in the range of $300 billion. Okay,
right.
So it could have been similar to that of Home Depot, if you want to make any comparisons. Now, if you look at today, it sits at about $2.3 trillion. So that is something like $300 billion short of that of the market capitalization of Apple. So just think about it.
Yes.
The reason for its success is very clearly the AI chips that it is making. So look at the kind of waves that we have been speaking about. You had the PC wave. So you had, Intel and Microsoft. If you remember that term called Wintel, W-I-N-T-E-L. So that was the Wintel wave. Everybody used to talk about Intel and Microsoft in the same breath, because Intel provides central processing units or its CPUs, and Microsoft
brought Windows.
Yes. So clearly that was the PC era. Then you fast forward, you go to 2007, iPhones. That became the mobile era. Clearly Apple came up, shot a shot into the limelight. Apple became the big daddy of all the companies. Then you shoot into straight 2017. You get the age of the Transformers. And I think Jensen Huang, during his opening speech, had pointed out all these kind of things. And over a period of, we have been listening to that. But you look at clearly at 2017, you see that, okay, we are already talking about Transformers, which again has, you know, changed the way. The only interesting thing is that in 2017, nobody spoke about generative AI. We used to talk about AI.
That's right.
Okay. So we were at that point in time, already those who are working on this software, they already knew about generative adversarial networks, the GANs, which are today, you know, responsible for the deepfakes also. But, you know, every image generation tool has GANs at its background. Then, of course, you have the variational autoencoders and you have your transformers. So a pretty interesting kind of stuff that was happening 2017. Then 2022 end, we had ChatGPT.
Right.
So December 1st, that really changed. That gave a face
and that
AI.
Yes, completely changed the game for pretty much everybody.
That was what. So there are two companies at that point in time which clearly shot into the limelight: OpenAI, and you look at the valuation of OpenAI, $100 billion plus. And then you look at NVIDIA. Now, NVIDIA has got catapulted into a very, very different league for the simple reason that the very GPUs that were used for gaming are today being used for training and running the models.
Right.
So all the big AI models, whether they're being run in China, whether they're being run in India, whether they're being run in the US, whether they're being run in the UK, anywhere across the world, they are clearly using the graphics processing units.
Yes,
now, what will happen? So, clearly, Jensen Huang is a god. He's a kind of a celebrity. But, you know, this is not to take away from other companies. Now, if you realize, there's Intel with its CPUs, CPU and GPU kind of combination. You have AMD and you have other companies also like Cerebras and all that are talking about all these, you know, because when you're running, you're training your models, when you're pre-training any kind of huge kind of models, the foundational models, you require GPUs to a very great extent. But the technology is improving to such an extent that you may have a combination of a GPU and CPU going ahead. And for inference, where you draw inferences from whatever your lending context and you're doing, you know, fine tuning, you're doing the inference part of it after the on the pre-trained model. That is the time when you would probably require a CPU. You don't require a GPU. GPUs will be an overkill. Now, NVIDIA is trying to get into that area itself. And also remember, as long, at least for another 3-4 years, NVIDIA has got the CUDA platform, the CUDA.
Yes.
There it locks in. It does not allow other players to get in. And that is kind of a secret sauce of NVIDIA at this point in time. So I would say that for another 5 years, it's clearly going to ride the AI wave. Other companies simultaneously. So you know that even as we are, as we speak, Microsoft, then Apple, Google, they are all, you know, making their own chips. Of course, Microsoft has the tie-up with OpenAI. It's got a 49% stake in OpenAI.
Right.
So that's a different cup of tea. But they are also trying to make their own chips. Now, whether they're able to make chips as powerful as NVIDIA or not, that's a different question. I don't think they're even trying to compete in that space. So NVIDIA has the lead in the GPU space. As of now, Meta has asked for 350,000, you know, H100s. And now NVIDIA, as you are already sitting over there, so you know that they have come up with this Blackwell.
Now we have the B200 Blackwell.
The Blackwell. So I like the kind of names, the nomenclature. And I think it's basically a leap, you know, from chips to a kind of a comprehensive AI platform. And that's the way it goes. So, yeah. So my 2 cents is NVIDIA is here to stay. Competition is definitely coming in.
Right.
But, you know, the first mover's advantage in this particular case is going to last for a longer time. Let's see how it pans out.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And you know, what I was, you know, particularly struck with is that throughout, it was a pretty lengthy keynote. In fact, it was a 2-hour keynote.
Keynotes are generally that long.
yes. And generally, if you ask somebody to sit for 2 hours and speak about, you know, chip engineering and technical details of a chip and, you know, petaflops in an AI processor, you'd find a lot of people dozing off. Largely, as far as I could see, and I was looking around for how many people are snoring around me, largely most people in that 13,000-seater stadium was awake, and people were cheering, people were applauding, you know, any kind of demos. And I think Huang has a certain style to his presentation. He's quite humorous as well. And
anybody who sits to an AI talk and goes to sleep today is going to go into a Rip Van Winkle kind of deep slumber. They will not
complete oblivion.
I didn't want to use the word die, but you know, you'll have to stay awake. You don't have much of a choice today.
I was just getting to that there was this rapt attention in the crowd. There were people who had traveled from the absolute opposite end of the world to be here. And there is this actual sense of anticipation around, you know, in the convention center where all the exhibitions are. Jensen's supposed to host an interaction tomorrow with the press, and people are excited. And I think this is probably, you know, one of those seminal moments in tech, which we call, the new generation calls, the iPhone moment. So I think it's quite exciting. And speaking about AI and generative AI, in fact, Deepthi had an interesting observation recently. And I would confess at this point that I don't really know much about this topic, except for probably a very broad overview, that search engine optimization, which in journalism we've all been hearing for the past few years and we've all been annoyed with at some point. But search engine optimization has apparently become something called general engine optimization. Generative engine optimization.
Yes.
My knowledge of GEO is that bad. I was always under the impression that GEOs are geosynchronized Earth orbit satellites.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, turns out they can optimize search engines also. Take it away, Deepthi. What is GEO and why do we need to know about it? And should we ignore it already?
No, see, like Leslie said, anything which has AI involved in it, you can't ignore it. You will die a digital death, right? What GEO is basically that Google will soon update, or probably is already in the process of updating its algorithm. They have been testing GEO for the past 1 year, experimenting with it. And it's basically how, initially in search engine optimization, we used to get links, right? Anytime we put in a query, we'd get a lot of different kinds of links. Now, what is going to happen is whenever a user puts in a query, the search is going to answer in such a manner that it's like personalized, you know, the way we get answers on chat.
Yeah, through the Google search generative
experience platform. So now what will happen is that your content, right, it will have to rank in that answer. So it will come across as a citation, you know, it will come across as maybe a link that you can, and video is going to play a huge role in all of that. A long form video doesn't have that much competition at this point of time. And by long form, I don't mean the podcast length video, which is like 20 to 22 minutes. I mean, a 5 to 10 minute long form video doesn't have that much competition. And that's something that people might want to look at, you know, to create content. Now, the thing is that, you know, in SEO, there is like, you know, you have backlinks and all of those things. All of that might not work as well. What you really...
Yeah, they're not supposed to be there, right?
Yeah. So there has been enough controversy about all of that. Some put backlinks, some don't. All of those things are there. But now how the whole thing is going to change is that you have to... you know, if you really need to rank on GEO, I'll just come to the point, right? As it is with most content creators and marketers, just come to the point. You have to create exceptional quality content. It needs to be credible. It needs to be error-free. All of these these resources that you quote from need to be proper quotes, proper citations. All of the content needs to be very, very original, authentic. Then it needs to be highly engaging. There needs to be a proper hook. Your target audience needs to be very, very clearly defined. You know, I know all of these things are there in SEO as well.
90% of your content will be generated by ChatGPT and
there is that,
what
right?
What will happen?
So,
how are you going to get this kind of a product?
Exactly. So that's what they are going to do. They want human-generated content to rank better.
Yeah, the whole irony out here is we are talking about human plus co-pilot. Huh. Microsoft is saying use human plus co-pilot. Perplexity is saying human plus co-pilot.
Correct.
How are you going to get, if every human is going to say human plus AI, we are going to work together. How on earth are you going to create that original content?
That's what I'm saying, na. People who know how to then... So they'll just have to find that pocket. They'll just have to create original content. Like we are creating original content over here. This is something that
question.
Will rank better than anything where, you know, there is AI involvement in terms of content, in terms of, it regurgitated content is not going to be ranked highly on a GEO. Yeah, Shovik, you have
I have a question here. You know, Deepthi, I remember when you started describing all of this, you mentioned that the content has to be high quality.
Yeah.
It means absolutely nothing and everything and again nothing at the same time.
So, what marketers are speculating is that your content needs to be human developed. It needs to be properly lit. All of those things are supposed to be there. But it should not have, you know, Sora quality, right, of AI. So, basically, with as many... I don't know if you understand this term, but like a classic Hollywood style of editing where the cuts are barely visible. There is little to no color correction. Everything is extremely authentic.
So
it looks like it needs to be generated by a human being.
Exactly. So basically they're telling you get back, stop your Grammarlies and get back to your Ren and Martin.
Absolutely. You should
go
have your own Martin. Original.
Yeah. Go back to the basics. Learn. Yes. Your grammar well.
Yes.
Do not rely on ChatGPT, you know, to teach grammar. It will help you probably, you know, learn different. But, you know, the moment you start plagiarizing somebody else's style, you're going to get into the same serious problem. So AI is going to catch AI and haul it up for plagiarism and for copyright violation.
Correct.
Oh, I love this. Good journalism is back in action.
You know, sometimes I feel like we are spectators to everything. AI is making the headlines. AI is writing its headlines. AI is catching AI who's writing the bad headlines. AI is soon going to start slapping each other and we're just going to stare at a screen and keep staring. It's wonderful. It's in fact, you know, even at GTC today, I came across this Amazon research team. So they had two robotic arms and they were playing chess against each other. One was based on Anthropic's Claude 3. And the other was based on some other open source AI model, I forgot. So, and they had this live feed, which was based again on a generative AI interface, which was creating explanations for the moves of each of the LLMs, stating that, okay, this robot made this particular move because it's this particular strategy in chess. And they were using that chessboard as an example of how AI can help correct each other and verify each other and eventually improve each other. And, you know, people, suddenly there was a crowd which gathered around and there were like a group of 20 people who were anticipating moves and someone was like, and the couple of people started betting. They're like, oh, the black team will win. No, the white team will win. And so I think we're not too far away from when AI does everything.
But see,
for us.
At the end of the day, if you remember that there is something, you know, when you start doing fine tuning, when you start doing, there's something called retrieval augmented, generation, RAG. And there's something called RLHF, which simply means reinforcement learning from human feedback. Now, reinforcement learning in machine learning just simply shows a very simple thing that you have to, it's like how children learn. So we all, human beings, really learn because you know, it's a good habit is reinforced with certain rewards. functions. And that's how you learn. So here's also, I mean, what they learn about in chess and all. So RLHF is a very, very kind of used technique. It's been used for about, I think, at least a decade that I know about. So these are important things to remember, that I think that human touch will have to be there. Because, for instance, today, if you do a banking transaction, I think all of us get so irritated and annoyed when we keep on, you know, if there's no human in the loop. Because you know that you're going to get into this continuous loop, and then suddenly the guy will, you know, the IVR will simply log you off and say, you know, you have exceeded the amounts of clicks or whatever.
That is the, it's the worst, because you can't even outreach to someone.
Yeah, so even if you use natural language, how does it help if you're not going to address the problem? So basically, you have to address a business problem, you have to address an individual's problem, you have to solve something. And, you know, we should not forget that AI at the end of the day is a means to an end. I think if you remember that, we'll be happy people, regardless of whether it is used in marketing campaigns, for SEO, for GEO, for, those tools will keep on changing. But like, for instance, in journalism, we always tell people, the younger generation that has got into journalism, I said, the need to write a good story will never stop. You'll always need to tell a good story.
Yes.
How you tell it, what format you use it, whether you want to put it on TikTok, whether you want to put it on Instagram, whether you want to put it on Facebook, whether you want to put it on YouTube, you still have to tell a story, else nobody's going to listen.
Right.
Yes. This was, in fact, one of the first things that you had told me after I entered the newsroom, which incidentally, Deepthi, for since you don't know, first day at my work, I showed up 2.5 hours late. just putting it out there.
How did you manage to keep your job after that?
Well, I'm still here. I don't know.
How did you manage
about
it?
The rest.
I'm a kind soul.
Yes. That's the explanation.
That he was Prasit's friend.
You're a gentle giant.
Multiple factors came together to save my job for that day. But we digress.
I think there is one more very important thing that we want to cover.
No, but before we do that, just to link back to what you said, Deepthi, so where are we at in this entire GEO conversation?
See, these are basically updates. Whenever the search changes significantly, then, you know, the way we also rank links, I mean, the way Google ranks links, that will also change, and we will have to change accordingly. So I'm just giving out this information well in advance so that, you know, different kinds of content creators can plan their content in advance in such a manner that they don't stay behind. Right. That's about it. And things change with AI. Every other day, something or the other is changing. So if these updates, you know, if this update, there is another update that kind of contradicts this one, then, you know, just putting it out there as a disclaimer. It's a possibility. But at least, you know, you should stay updated when it comes to your own work.
But what's the one that contradicts it?
Sorry?
What's the one that contradicts it?
It could. I'm not sure if there is anything that could contradict. Nothing as of now.
Oh, achcha. You're just...
In the future. So I'm just giving a disclaimer.
FYI. FYI for marketeers and content creators.
Content creator.
You your life,
basically, what you're doing is hedging your bets.
Yes.
Well, can you move on?
Shavik, I think the important part with that NVIDIA announcement, I think for the listeners, if you can just, highlight what happened with the IOTA data services and NVIDIA, that would be helpful.
Yes, so in fact, IOTA, I had a very good conversation with Sunil Gupta, who's the chief executive officer of IOTA. So IOTA and NVIDIA signed a partnership some time ago. And IOTA's order to sometime around that
December
probably a little before that December.
I distinctly remember it.
Right So the partnership's worth about $1 billion, and IOTA's partnership is to source roughly 16,396 or exactly 16,396 chips from NVIDIA. And they're using this to start, you know, manage data services on cloud. of which they've taken delivery of the about the first 200. They're just about to get delivery about of the next 2,000 by March. So it's going to bring the total number of GPUs in their arsenal to 4,000. But Yotta is also one of the first companies who are going to be on the first lot of deliveries of NVIDIA's new Blackwell GPU. So they are already in talks for tentatively getting their hands on the Blackwell GPU by October this year, in order to kind of be in line with the latest cutting edge of AI services that they can offer.
But I think what will be very interesting is because they have ordered for the H100s, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the H100s are actually the cutting edge GPUs from NVIDIA, and they will be used for the Deshi LLMs that we're talking about, the India LLMs.
Yes.
And
yes,
what the government is talking about, that new foundation, the
public-private partnership.
Exactly. The recent announcement that it made that we'll have, many LLMs, for which it said that it would have about 10,000 GPUs.
10,000 GPUs.
Already seeing Yotta, and I'm sure the other people will be chipping in very soon.
So, right. In fact, Sunil mentioned that most of the Indian, the Indian LLMs, be it Sarvam, as well as Vizi, who unveiled Hanuman at the NASSCOM Leadership Summit. I think NASSCOM Technology Leadership Forum, so to speak. So they're all working with Yotta to kind of access their on-cloud services. And that kind of puts Yotta fair and square, again, a very fast emerging company as a significant tech player in India. And
How many players do you have in the data center? I think it's Yotta, then there's a ControlS, then there's some other companies.
There are NTT, whom I remember you and I had spoken with last year.
No, I'm talking about the Indian ones.
Indian ones, I think, ControlS, Yotta, and I think not too many. Airtel has Nextra.
Airtel.
And a few others. Mm-hmm. So, but very interesting, even among the overall service providers, I think Yotta's the one who's kind of making the right headlines and noises right now. They're also looking at a fundraise. They're considering an IPO versus a PE fundraise. So,
I'm glad. I think this is a very happy position to be in. This is good for the Indian ecosystem. And
yes,
I know we have a long way to go, but along with semiconductors, along with AI policy, and along with the GPUs coming in,
they
seem to be tying in. And we are able to connect the dots better with more kind of practical applications rather than, just talking
on paper.
And so I think that's a good thing.
Speaking of the government, in fact, Leslie, last week, or I think last to last week, a new draft bill has been raised, the draft digital competition bill. And with that, we are looking to take the same approach as the European Union. And I'd love it if Deepthi, Leslie, both of you weigh in on this. But we're looking to now crack down on big tech, because we have also started saying that big tech is too powerful and they need to be broken down and they need to be regulated. And I know it's a slightly boring topic. Deepthi is already drowsy. See, even her "don't you dare" sounded drowsy. To make things a little more relevant for people, what the Indian draft bill has basically suggested is that if there is one company which runs multiple services, they can't prioritize any services or make your experience seamless with them. For instance, when you are, say, on WhatsApp, or when you're on Instagram, if you want to share a particular reel with your friend who you were chatting with on WhatsApp, right now it's very simple and very easy to just click on share, and the WhatsApp icon just pops up on the bottom and you tap on it and the reel gets shared. The draft bill says that these are a part of a problem called bundling of services, where these big tech groups create these apps and they use these apps to keep users within a particular loop, within a particular ecosystem. For instance, Google, which runs Gmail, is now being frowned upon for also offering Google Drive and an easy way to offer Google Drive through Gmail. And the question being asked of them is, what if somebody wants to use OneDrive with Gmail or Dropbox with Gmail or something of that sort? What it kind of, while I understand where the entire argument started, what it kind of has threatened right now are two things. One, it threatens to break the smooth flow of, you know, apps and user experience and user interfaces right now. And secondly, a few people, including Zomato, have written in an early response to the consultations that are supposed to begin for this draft bill that this kind of hinders the possibility of a tech company's ability to innovate. Because a very interesting argument a lawyer gave me was that there is a very thin line between when a new feature remains a feature or turns into a product. So how do you draw the line and how do you differentiate these factors? Have I put both of you to sleep? I probably have. But in case you guys are awake, do you guys want to weigh in on this topic?
I think it's a very kind of weighty argument. But I think essentially what the competition law is talking about protecting your intellectual property. How do you not miss?
Yes.
So at the same time, it wants to protect the IPR of big tech firms. And at the same time, it wants to give, you know, protect the consumer by, you know, having a set of do's and don'ts. That these IPRs are not misused. I think it's a tall order. We are trying to, you know, the EU law is one of the most stringent laws in the world. Even the US laws aren't as stringent. So I'm not too sure whether that's the right benchmark. But I think an IP law lawyer would be able to throw much more light on this particular bill because it would be very nuanced. So let us see what comes out of it. But I would say it's a good step in the direction. What I like about what's happening in India and all the... I know it's goofing up a lot on the advisories. For instance, it issued that advisory on AI and then it had to backtrack and, you know...
Backtrack. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I think it is like, I always like to make a comparison between, you know, Google and Apple. Apple always likes to put out finished products in the market. And it makes money on that. That's one approach. Google likes to, you know, experiment and put out a lot of other kind of iterations and, you know, check the user feedback, etc., and then take action on it. Now, these are two different approaches. Both make money, both are in the market, and both are here for the long run.
Right.
I think India is kind of, you know, taking an approach where it is... playing things back. It could have done it in a more systematic fashion. Yes, definitely, you know, but maybe, I mean, when you sit in on, you know, as a policymaker to make these decisions, it's a little hard sometimes to take accurate decision. You'll always have this cynicism from certain quarters. When you're in the government, you probably have to take, you know, you just hope that the government is, if this is not a pre-election gimmick and that the government is serious.
Right. Yes.
So we'll leave it at that, I think, so at this point in time. Let us see how it pans out.
Deepthi, any final thoughts to this entire argument?
No, as of now, I just really don't want to form an opinion. I agree with I've contemplated what Leslie has said, and it's too complex an issue for me to sort of speak about right now.
No rabbits today?
No, the rabbit hole journey that I took was GEO, and I'm excited about it, and I'm excited to also then implement it for my own team. So that is
Deepthi, why don't you just settle this argument once and for all and buy an actual rabbit?
It's not available, Baba. It's not
adopt a rabbit. I'm not asking you to buy the assistant. Adopt a rabbit. Just
I'm scared of their eyes.
Okay, let's not get into this carrot and stick argument.
A very strange turn of events.
Yes, and we will carry forward this argument after we close the episode.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know why I said ladies and gentlemen again, but on that note, it is time to end. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, please do write to us. Please do email us or tag us on Twitter or LinkedIn. And shoot across new ideas if you want us to discuss something. We're always on the lookout for something quirky, something fun. I'm evidently not on the lookout for anything fun. evidently by the topics that I spoke about today, but the rest of them are, and I promise you that we will take them up. But thank you so much for tuning in. That's it for this week. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
So folks, that's it for this episode. You are listening to Mint Techcetera.
You can reach out to us on LinkedIn if you have any questions. Our handles are in the description.
This episode was produced by me, Deepti Ahuja. It was edited by Amrinder Singh. Catch you next week.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HT Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.